You're listening to Radio MD. What's good and good for you? Why, Family Food Kitchen, of course. Here they are, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
Who can put a price on the value of a well-functioning brain, one that has a reliable or proves to be a reliable short and long-term memory source, one that quickly helps you think on your feet, one that keeps your organs working tip-top, and oh, so much more. It's what we all want. All 100 billion neurons that fill our brains not only need to be well-fed, but they absolutely need to be consistently, that's the operative word, consistently exercised. As they say, use it or lose it. Well, Dr. Fraser Smith has done the hard part for us. He wrote, listen to this book. You've got to write this name down, too. I love all these books. The Complete Brain Exercise Book. The Complete Brain Exercise Book. It's a book that I have used, and I obviously need to use it some more, don't we all? So you can have a lot of fun using your brain with his brain grain games. I can't even speak. I better get back to your book. Dr. Fraser, thanks for writing this book. Obviously, we all need to exercise our brain, but how did you figure out which exercises are good for our brains?
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Ellen. When we were coming up with this book, we wanted to give the readers an option to computer-based brain training, which is great. And that is certainly something that everyone could do, but we wanted to get into a wider variety of activities than just what we could do on a screen, moving objects around, etc. So when we came up with the book, we thought about all of the different major functions of our brain, such as understanding where things fit together in space, like directions, or memorizing or using language, and some other basic aspects of our brain function. And then we came up with activities that would challenge us in all those different areas.
Okay, I'm going to jump back to something you said that I'd like to just have you take a minute and comment on. You said get us off the screen and into a book. That means we have to read the words on a page and turn the page. And, I mean, this is the way we traditionally learn, but we've gone so now oriented to the screen. What is the difference? Do we get more brain activity by working, using books, having books in hand, or is that not matter?
I think the main benefit was to do the activities described in the book involve doing things with the body or going out and say creating a new route to work or memorizing a new route to work and things like that. So yes, there's something to be said for picking up a book and focusing. A lot of the exercises are in almost like a one-page tear-off, so they're really digestible. It's a fairly manageable amount of reading to do. But the main thing is to get out from sitting in a chair or moving pixels around on a screen and doing a wider variety of activities.
You know, you've mentioned memorization a few times, so I'm going to go right there because that is my biggest challenge. And describe some of the exercises that you think would help me and others who struggle with this.
With memorization, sometimes we gave the readers a list or have them make a list of something new or something that happened during the day and basically write it down and then try to recall it later on and see how they did. That would be one of the simpler things. Another exercise was an end-of-the-day recap, and in a sense trying to make a narrative of the day at the end of the day and write down how things went during the day, like a synopsis or a script, which some days could be kind of easy. Like, I sat around and binge-watched my favorite show, but other days it takes a fair amount of concentration to do that. And then another type of memorization we do would be essentially make a top five list of something important to you, like your top five favorite actors or top five presidents. Put it away, and perhaps a week later, a day later, to make it easier, try to list that list from memory and then take it out of the drawer and see how you did. Well, these are all ways of working out not just what we can remember for an hour, but how our brain encodes short-term memory that we're thinking about into a long-term memory that we can go and take out of the file cabinet of our brain later, something that I think a lot of us find more challenging. There's lots of good things stored away in our filing system of our brain. It just the search time starts to get longer and longer.
Yeah, and I think when we went to school, we were trained to memorize and retain information. But as we get left school, unless we're doing research or something, it tends to fade away as a habit. But I noticed that you're asking us to write things down. So that is that a key part of the memorization process?
Actually, the writing down is. It focuses us. Obviously, it provides a log for what we have to recall later, although we could let a partner do that for us, you know, a family member or a significant other record that for us. But I think there's something to the act of writing things down. In my time as a medical student, we had to take notes constantly. Even though we had textbooks, there really was no such thing as PowerPoint. So your note-taking ability had a lot to do with your survival as a student. And yeah. I think there's something to that. So, but what it really boils down to is focusing the brain. When we give something our attention, and even better, when there's a strong emotional component or a sense of novelty, it gets written into our brain much more vividly. So, you know, in 5 years from now, we'll probably all remember, oh, yeah, David Bowie passed away in early 2016, or we know where we were when such and such an event happened. There's a reason why that memory is easily accessible in that it was significant at the time and the brain recorded it differently than something trivial.
Yep. It takes constant work. It seems to me that there's, it's just like exercising your muscles. If you don't use them, you lose them. And the same, obviously, is what you're describing happens to the brain. Could you comment on that?
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. And that goes right to the heart of what these sorts of protocols are all about. As we get older, we tend to do a lot of the same things, and we do them well. We drive the same places. We do the same kind of work. We do the same routines. And what can happen is that the part of our brain, including a structure in the brain called the hippocampus, which is like the memory recorder, I guess you could say it gets lazy or just underused. So we're not learning how to learn. We're not activating those pathways so much. So the big challenge is to get out of our comfort zone, and sometimes this is almost painful for people, to do something that requires novelty and real learning instead of repetition, repeating old scripts. And that's what this book is all about, is to actually get into some of our underused parts of our brain, which is different for everybody, and make us flex them.
And you make it fun. You look forward to doing it. And that is, I think, really key to get people to do it. And you get results. Some, I assume, it depends on your age or activity of your brain, how long you get results. But you do get results. So I call this the Brain Gain Workbook. And I totally recommend it. So please, please, everybody, go look for it. Unless you don't care. Maybe you don't care, but I think most of us do, especially with the onset of Alzheimer's. And let's go get the Great Brain Exercise book by Dr. Fraser Smith. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you all for listening today. Please come back again. In the meantime, find our past episodes on Radio MD, iTunes, or iHeartRadio. Be sure to exercise your brain and eat well and stay well.